Good morning to all of our listeners live from the studios of RPPFM here in Mornington to another edition of Bowling Around the Peninsula, proudly brought to you by Boss Sports, your bowl specialist. On today's program, we will be joined in the studio by Jeff Hooper, the president of the Peninsula Bowls Division, and Stan Slawinski, director and match committee member, also from the Peninsula Bowls Division. Our resident bowls correspondent, Michael Stanley, will join us later in the program to talk about the latest news from around the traps. And it's now time to welcome your hostess, Pam Dine, to the microphone. Good morning, Pam.
Oh, good morning, Neil. That was a nice entrance. Have you got me tuned in? Oh, I'm here.
Okay, how's your week been?
It's been pretty hectic, yes.
And what about overnight? How did last night go?
Overnight, we had a night pennant, which we'll talk about that later.
No dramas.
And welcome to Stan, and welcome to Jeff. And here we have Barry from Boss Sports. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Pam. How are we?
I'm okay.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good. Good. A little tired, but okay.
A little tired? What have you been doing?
Yeah, oh, it's been a
bit. You weren't at night pennant last night.
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't last night. No, I've had a pretty busy week. We had a sponsors night at Mount Eliza, which was fantastic. They always put on a good do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a very, very tiring week. I was so tired last night. I was asleep before my head hit the pillow. Yeah. Well, I know that because I missed. But on a more serious note, it's been a busy week in the build-up. I had some not-so-good news yesterday and some good news. Not-so-good news, it's 29 days till Christmas.
We know.
Yeah, for the good news, it's only 30 till it's over.
So we're happy.
Yeah, which leads me into Christmas, obviously, people are trying to come up with ideas and for Christmas to buy for family and so forth. If you've got someone in the family who is a bowler, obviously we've got lots of gift ideas to take the pressure off if you're thinking what to try and get people.
It's a good idea for the blokes, isn't it?
Yeah, well, look, for everyone, it's there's lots of things that they can come and get and we can help them with. But on the retail point of view, I think people are now noticing, unfortunately, that product is starting to go up in price. We've had it good in Australia now for probably 10 years with the parity of the dollar, but as we all know, it's running around 70 cents now, so unfortunately things are starting to go up in price. So with that in mind, this week's special, we're giving 20% off all new apparel.
Well, that's all good.
New style in just for the week to try and help people out before Christmas.
Well, more reason to pop into Boss Sports?
Well, absolutely. You know, we try to, like a lot of wholesalers, you try to carry the increase in price for as long as you can. I don't mean to scare people. It's not going up by 30%, but, there are...
It creeps up.
Things start to creep
up. It's like the petrol.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
well, not as bad as petrol.
Well, it was 103 yesterday morning. It's 1:30 this morning. How do they justify that? I don't know either.
No,
I don't know.
No. Anyway. What about your pop-up shops? Were you still doing those before Christmas?
Oh, not so. Well, I've got one more to go before Christmas.
Okay, what about after Christmas?
Oh, yeah, after Christmas we've got quite a few.
So when are you closed?
We only close Christmas Day, Boxing Day, and New Year's Day. So
because there's a lot of, because there's no pennant,
yes,
over that period of about 3 to 4 weeks, four weeks.
That's right.
So a lot of the clubs are having their big days.
Yes.
Their tournaments. Yep.
Australia Day, et cetera.
Yeah, So they need to phone you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Get in touch. Yeah, we'll go along, as I said last week, make the event a little more colourful.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about these bowlers that haven't got the transport to come and visit your shop?
Oh, look, absolutely.
Make a phone call?
Yeah, they just give us a call. We can ship it. I had a couple in from Benalla last week.
Wow.
Who were down visiting family. They didn't know we were here, so they were quite excited because for them it's a 120k drive or something ridiculous.
Just up the road.
To get the product. So, we have quite a few people from Tasmania contacting us now and Lakes Entrance. So we just ship direct. It's not a problem.
Yeah,
at
there's
all
not many bowl
that.
Shops around these days, is there?
Not standalone bowl shops. No. It's pretty hard to do that. Yeah. But on a more serious note, a chap I know decided to leave home.
Oh.
Finally. Yeah.
Finally?
Decided, yeah, time to move out.
Oh, so I thought it might have been a woman.
No, it was a guy, finally. So he went home to tell Mum and Dad, and he walked in, and Mum was cooking, and he said to Mum, I've decided it's time to move out. And And she said, "What are you, crazy? What are you talking about? You're going to move out of home? Are you crazy?" "No, no, no, Mum, it's time for me to go. I'm 40 now." Mum said, you're breaking my heart. I'm going to get the Papa. So she calls on Papa, and Papa goes, "What's going on?" "Bambini, Anthony, he want to leave home. My Bambini going to leave home." And Papa goes, "What, are you crazy? Look what you're doing to your Mama. You're breaking Mama's heart." She says, "Mum, Dad, I don't understand." "What do you mean you don't understand? I should smack your face. What are you talking about? Look, who's going to make your pasta? Who's going to make the lasagna for you?" "Mum, Dad, I don't understand." "What don't you understand?" "We're not Italian."
Very good. Sorry, and on that note, Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas to all. It's nearly here.
Yes, it's nearly here.
Yep.
Okay, well, what's happening there, Neil?
Weather.
Oh, the weather.
Yeah,
oh, just the weather. Neil loves talking the weather about report. The weather. And it's not looking too good.
Well, we've got a maximum temperature today, Pam, of expected 21 degrees. So as we can see already, it's partly cloudy with some light winds becoming southerly 15 to 25 kilometres in the afternoon. So overall, not a bad day. And I think it'll be okay for all our bowlers listening.
Well, actually, it was a bit like this yesterday. And last night at the night pennant, it was beautiful out there, wasn't it, Jeff? Oh, he's moving over to the microphone. It was a beautiful night. The sun was out and it was like put your sunglasses on, wasn't it?
It was actually the best part of the day when the Certainly game got was. Underway at 6:15. I was a bit concerned earlier in the day, but by the time the game got underway, it was fantastic.
Just adjusting the microphone for you there, Jeff. Welcome to the program, Geoffrey, and Geoffrey's the president of the Peninsula Bowling Division, and we've got a lot to talk about this morning, haven't we, Geoff?
Got a few things on the agenda.
Okay, what are we going to talk about?
Between Stan and myself and Stan's here. The first thing I thought we'd talk about was last night's match. There was a lot of talk about the cricket and making history with a pink ball in South Australia, where on the Peninsula we made our own history with the first Saturday pennant Friday night game. City of Frankston and Mount Eliza, of course, both have new lights on their greens, and it was great, apart from the twilight pennant, which we've been running now for about 8 weeks, it was great to be able to utilise those facilities last night at City of Frankston, and what an atmosphere it was. Perhaps for the purists, playing music and having barefoot bowls and night bowls is not what they'd say was what lawn bowls used to be all about with brown shoes.
The brown shoes.
And talking of that, we had last night the inaugural Ma Huddle Cup, which was a trophy with a brown shoe mounted, and I believe Mount Eliza and City of Frankston are going to play off for that each time they play.
When I arrived there, it was on top of the roof of one of the sheds.
How disrespectful.
They displayed.
But it was a wonderful night, and I congratulate City of Frankston on putting that together. Food, music, a lot of people, and all in all, a great atmosphere. As far as City of Frankston are concerned, perhaps not such a great night in the finish.
No.
They lost 61-99, and in fact it was Mount Eliza's first win for the season, so that's probably enough to get them off the bottom of the ladder. They grabbed 17 points to City of Frankston's one, I believe.
I think there might be a reshuffle of the team for City of Frankston next week. What do you think, Stan?
Oh, it looks like.
Well, we actually play, Hastings play City of Frankston next Saturday. And I did make the point last night, the only downside of playing on the Friday night was that City of Frankston get the 8-day break. We only get a 7-day break.
Oh.
So we'll have to be very
careful.
Extra
day an extra day to train.
We'll have to be careful over the last five ends next week.
Well, therefore, it should be 21.
Well, that was considered last night. It was suggested that 21 ends would lend itself to night pennant, which is probably right. And interestingly, a lot of the people who come down from the Metropolitan pennant, where they play 21 ends, all say 21 ends is not a bad way to go. However, on the Peninsula, we've been steadfast with our 25 ends, and that's what we've maintained. And
it's rather strange, you know, we started this trial period for midweek this year with 21 ends. Mm-hmm. The first couple of weeks, everyone went, why aren't we playing 25 ends? I don't hear anyone saying, why aren't we playing 25 ends anymore? They're quite happy to play their 21.
Yeah, I think it's what you get used to.
Yeah.
We're used to 25 ends. We haven't tried that. But we felt that if we were going from 18 rounds to 14 rounds and then cut it back from 25 ends to 21 was perhaps a bit too much. So we've stuck with 25, and I think most people are pretty happy with that. It was about a 50-50 call when the decision was made.
Yeah, it's been like that for a few years, a 50-50 call. Yep. Yeah. It just depended on who was doing the calculations, Jeff.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, which way they would lean on the PBD board. Do we go 21 or do we go 25? So anyway, it's worked out. This is a good trial. Don't you think, Stan?
Oh, trials for anything is great, I reckon.
Yeah.
I mean, like last night in the cricket. They're trialling twilight cricket as well, aren't they?
And a pink ball.
Yeah, it's good. We use pink balls too now.
That's what I wanted to ask. Should they have been using a yellow kitty last night? Would that made...
Probably wouldn't make a lot of difference. I mean, the yellow kitty's synthetic green. They were playing on a grass green, so it was a white kitty. Yep.
Just a question.
Yeah, that was all good. So all in all, a history-making event for the Peninsula Bowls division. And as I said last night, it was great for both clubs concerned. It was great for the division, but I think it was particularly good for the Peninsula as well.
And obviously, Mount Eliza are feeling very happy.
Yeah. So their return match is the last round of the season, and they're playing under lights at Mount Eliza.
So that should be another opportunity.
Yeah.
And I'm sure next year there might be other clubs that are prepared to do it too. More lights going in, do you think?
Well, that's a fair possibility. I think anything we can do to grow the game on the peninsula, that's what we're all about.
Yeah.
And as Stan said before, I mean, we're trialling a lot of things this year. Some things will work, some things won't work. We revisit that at the end of the season and say what's been good, what hasn't been so good, and we adjust things accordingly.
Of course, yes. Yep. And what else is said? Anything good?
Well, just a couple of things about the state events, and then I'll let Stan talk about the twilight. The over 60 pairs is down at Bairnsdale on December the 9th, which is next Wednesday week. Our region's being represented by Michael Vaughan and John Daniels, or Jack Daniels, City of Frankston in the men's over 60s pairs. And the region will be represented in the women's over 60s pairs by Judy Bradford and Sandra McColgan from Dramana Bowling Club. And naturally, on behalf of the PBD and the region, we wish both of those pairs well when they go down to Bairnsdale on Wednesday week. And hopefully they can
not far off,
do us proud. As far as the women's pairs, the PBD women's pairs was played on Thursday in next to atrocious conditions up at Somerville. And that was a long day. I mean, apart from the fact that it was 18 ends of crossover pairs, which is long in itself.
I played for 3.5 hours the week before.
Yep, it is a long game. And
hot and 3.5 hours. Yeah.
Particularly windy conditions. They played through rain and full marks. They were very stoic, given the conditions. And the quality of the game was top notch. I mean, anything within the yardstick in those conditions was good. Now, the outcome of that was that Joan Bretherton and Colleen Maslin from Mornington Civic defeated Barb Hazel and Kathy Maskery from City of Frankston. The day finished at about 5:45, and they started at 9:30.
No wonder they said it was a long day.
36 ends of crossover pairs, and that's a fantastic effort. Now, is it something that we need to look at in the future with our state events? And we always question why a lot of people aren't entering. And I'd suggest that perhaps some people think, well, that's too long a day for me and I haven't got the fitness and the stamina to do that. Do we play it on slower greens? Do we change the format perhaps to three bowl pairs? I don't know what the answer is, and that's something that we'll have to discuss.
For a couple of years, the Bowls Victoria had it, the pairs being played sets play, which was quite a good way to go, actually. It was a bit of a different format than they were used to playing, and then we've gone to three bowl pairs.
Yep.
And I can remember playing down at Mornington Civic, and there were three greens full of pairs, ladies' pairs being played, and now, you know, you're lucky if you get, what, eight teams?
Yes. Yeah, look, it's definitely something we need to
I think
to
it's like
at.
It was like three or five down at on the Flinders District played. I mean, it's just dropping. And I can remember last year we played at Mount Eliza, the pairs game, and at the end of the day there were so many people said, we're not going to play this. We're past it. We're past this 3.5 hours on the green playing, walking 2-2-2. And I think I worked it out that it was 6 kilometres that you walk in a game. 6 Ks. So it's a big day, isn't it? And with the ageing population, and as I said to Jeff earlier, you know, with everyone getting new bowlers into their club, the intake, those people won't be ready to play state events for another couple of seasons. So, you know, so we're going to lose some, and it could get worse before it gets better. Hmm. What do you think, Stan?
Oh, look, I think with pairs... it's sad to say, but 2-2-2-2 crossover pairs, you know, that's one of my favourite games, but it does take a long time. I mean, I know a lot of players that each time they cross over, when from lead to the second position, they stop and they talk about the hit for too long. There's nothing to talk about when you're going from first to second, playing from lead to second. Just go and play your bowls. There's a lot of players on the peninsula who just don't get it. They don't need to sort of have a chat 5 minutes between each bowl, you know, just get on with it. And I do know in pairs now, the three-bowl pairs is becoming particular. Everyone's playing three-bowl pairs at the moment. You look at the APL that was just played 2 weeks ago on the TV.
Yeah.
In fact, I was at a corporate function last night at Cranbourne Racetrack, and when I was introduced to people and I was introduced as a bowler, and non-bowlers came up to me and said, gee, we watched the bowls on TV the other day. It was like the darts, and they were really, really excited. Through that, Hastings now have got a new sponsor. Just through that, yeah. Just by watching the APL, the three-bowl pairs, and that was so exciting, so fast, just by that, things happen, don't they?
Yeah.
Now, if that had been 2x2x2x2 pairs, and there was a lot of talking in between, it would probably never happen. People wouldn't watch it.
No. But, Jeff, do we still have to go on the format of what Bowls Victoria put out? You know, I mean, if they put out this is how you play, the 2x4, you know, 2-2-2, walking pairs as I call it, can we change that? Or do we have to submit to Bowls Victoria and say we don't want to play this anymore?
Well, I know we are bound by Bowls Victoria rules, but to be absolutely honest, I don't know whether we're permitted to make our own rules regarding state events or not, because at the end of the day
you've got to play it.
A region, you've got to play a state event,
yeah,
and it's played under Bowls Victoria conditions.
That's so right. Yeah.
How much leeway we have in that respect, I'm not too sure. But look, I agree with Stan. I think crossover pairs is a fantastic game to play. In fact, it's probably my favourite game, followed by two bowl triples. As much as I love pennant, I still think that's a great game. But as far as the ladies are concerned the other day, I mean, it was a particularly long day.
Yeah, it is. And it is a long day playing on a synthetic surface. And we were told that the greens were timed at 16, and there were girls there, ladies, that actually timed the green on their iPhone with their stopwatch, and it was running at 18.5 seconds. So who's right?
Interestingly enough, it's only in Australia where they play the crossover pairs. Nowhere else in the world they play
Nowhere else
them.
In the world. There you go.
Now, I actually went and visited Barry and his premises after last week's program.
Yeah, so you told me. Yeah, and, so you're thinking of taking up bowling, are you, Neil?
Well, I just thought I'd go down out of curiosity to have a look, gander.
It's very good of you to do that.
And I was pleasantly surprised. What a fantastic setup his premises are down here at Mornington, just on the Bean Highway.
So if you want to buy a set of bowls, you've got a trial there. It's got a little mat where you can put your bowls down and see if you like the feel of them.
Yeah, well, for all of our listeners listening, if you haven't been down to visit Barry at Boss Sports, do yourself a favour and get down there, because you'll be pleasantly surprised. And I also know he mentioned about the shoes, which was an issue on last week's program. He's got a wide range and plenty of stock of the correct attire, footwear attire.
And it's going to keep going on, this shoe business, because everyone's upset about it, especially Michael.
Yeah, if you can find the time to make the effort to get down to Boss Sports down here in Mornington and the Nepean Highway. He's next door to the Thirsty Camel, and he's opposite
Hungry Jack's.
Hungry Jack's, in between those two spots. So, as we said, do yourself a favour and get down there and visit Barry Irvine from Boss Sports. Back to you, Pam, our hostess.
Yes, so I'm going to speak here to Jeff And I think Jeff's going to pass over to Stan or something. What are you doing?
Well, I just missed, there were a couple of state events that I thought I might just mention quickly before I pass over to Stan. The men's fours is being played at Mornington Civic on Sunday. We're down to the semi-pointy end. We've got the semi-finals in the morning and then the final in the afternoon. The first semi-final is between Grant Catterick from Coringal versus Alan Ash from City of Frankston. And in the other semi-final, Mick Curran from Mornington Civic's playing our own Stan Slawinski from Hastings. So two good semi-finals, and that promises to be a good day of bowls at Mornington Civic.
So is the final being played there?
It will be played there on Sunday afternoon.
Okay. So that's going to be a good event. And we've got the novice
now,
being...
Now, the men's novice has finally been decided.
Finally.
Yeah, we did have an issue with an ineligible player, as you will recall. That's now been decided.
The winner remains the winner.
The winner remains the winner because the two who actually got through were both from City of Frankston, John Black and Ian Thomas, and both get on pretty well together, and I think they decided in the wash-up that the only fair thing to do was to keep the result as was, so John forfeited to Ian. So Ian Thomas is the PBD novice champion, and he'll go on and represent the PBD at Region.
And that's going to be held at the Cranbourne Bowling Club on the 6th of December, starting at 9 a.m. And the conditions of play have been sent out to all the clubs. So I suggest that all the clubs out there support your novice players because they're the future of your clubs. And it's been a good year with the novices, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah, so that's very good.
Yep. So Stan's got a few things regarding our Twilight pennant, which is coming close to a close. Stan, what have you got?
Yep. There's only one more round to go in the Twilight, which is this Wednesday. Interestingly enough, both in the men's and the women's, it's actually top eight. We have top eight finalists. The top four constitute the A-grade final, and the teams from 5 to 8 constitute the B-grade final. But in the men's section, any team from the 9th position can get into the top four. All top four sides can drop out of the top four.
Really?
It's unreal, yeah. It's unreal how playing with like 12 ends against opposed 25 ends in pennant and 5 players, how even the competition has become. And, you know, really, like in the men's side especially, I always see the men every week. I don't see the women every week. But how the smaller clubs like Main Ridge, Fair, they're just absolutely fantastic. Mornington on the Beach, who in second division in Saturday pennant, they give everyone a run for their money with the five-a-side. I mean, they've got some great players like Chad, those kind of guys.
They've got ABC
really
back.
Yeah. ABC's back, yeah, for Main Ridge, and that's really good. I mean, you look at Mount Martha on Saturday pennant, sort of about middle of the road, they're in the top four in this league, which is
fantastic.
Yeah,
it's good. It's given everyone a chance. They didn't have to have premier type bowlers to play in this event.
No. Well, I know at Hastings what we've tried to introduce newer bowlers to it to expose them to the better bowlers. And each week we've always had a player from the fourth side or the third side in it. And that's been fantastic.
Well, that's good, isn't it? And we've done the same with City of Frankston with the ladies. Yep. And we've put newer bowlers in.
All right, so there's one week to go, the round robin. Then we've got the final. The final on the following Wednesday, which is Wednesday the 9th. Now, what we'd like the PBD are going to put on the night. We're going to have peaches throughout the night at the start of the game, like roll-ups at 6 o'clock, so we'll make sure there's some peaches there for the roll-up, at half-time, between the games, after the games. And we want to have a good night. We want to make a real big deal about this. It's not just for the players. It's for the spectators as well. And for all the people that are working behind the scenes at Mount Eliza and Mount Martha. By the way, the venue will be the Mount Martha.
Really? Mount Martha for the finals.
There's no cost to the players, no cost to the supporters. The only thing that's going to cost you if you want a drink.
We don't have to pay any green fees.
Mount Martha have had a board meeting and have agreed not to waiver the cost. I mean, it's just fantastic.
That's great,
isn't it? Look, we've made a few bucks out of it, so we want to give something back to the players as well. So we're going to have a big party night that night.
I hope I get chosen to play.
Well, last Wednesday, it was so good to see Phil Hayes, who was playing at West Rosebud and now plays in the Premier League for Mitcham. He was playing there last Wednesday, and he played in the pairs with Steve Williams from Rye, man, that was so good. I mean, those two players are always in the group side and they've played Premier League. And those kind of players are coming down here to play this competition. And that's what this was all about, to get some good players down, to get the FBD and the PBD talking together. It's working a treat.
Oh, that's good. I love it. No, it's... I only played two nights, but I enjoyed it.
Hmm.
Even though it was windy and cold, but it was still fun. And we just rugged up.
As you do.
As you do. I had a beanie on and everyone wanted to buy my beanie. Anyway, over to you.
Yeah, well, look, some possible changes if we do change things for the next series. Maybe we might have it later on in the year, maybe January, February, March, sometime like where it is warm. Interesting. Just before the season started, we played in the Bendigo Pairs and they had like the men's Bendigo Pairs and the women's Bendigo Pairs and they weren't on at the same time. So I checked up and this Twilight, we don't have to have the men and the women at the same night if we don't want. Some of the women were saying Wednesday might be too close to the Tuesday pennant. So maybe we might look at that. Do we have the women on a different night?
Thursday.
We'll see what the women want. We'll do what they want. No problem at
True.
All.
True. Well, yeah. It's all all good.
A possible power play. One end power play too.
Oh, I like that.
It makes it a bit more interesting.
I like that. That worked well. It's
as I was saying before, this corporate thing last night, the people that watched that APL on TV and found that so exciting with the power play, the fast play, it was just so great.
That's the way things are going with Boeing. They want everything quick. That's why 21 ends is good.
Yep.
Mm. It's over and done with. 21 ends. Not the 25, and you look at the scoreboard, it says 18, you've played 18 ends, and you think, oh, thank heavens, I've only got 3 ends to go.
Well, Twilight's even better, we play 12 ends.
That's right. What's the format next on the 9th? Yeah, what's the format for the finals? Is that the finals? No. On the 9th?
The 9th will be the finals,
The finals.
Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, so let's say...
How many ends?
Oh, the same, 12 ends.
Oh, so...
So let's say the top four, the A graders,
top
four. First will play four in a knockout game. Second will play third.
Yep.
The B graders, fifth will play eighth.
Yep.
Sixth will play seventh.
That's good.
Straight knockout, 12 ends, have a break, have a drink, and go to the grand final then after that.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, short and sharp.
Like that? What else do you
Interestingly enough,
there?
We trial them instead of rolling the jack to save a bit of time, spotting the jack so the leaders don't roll the jack. The skipper spots the jack.
Much better.
And we're getting a bit of feedback from that. Oh, look, there were a lot of people opposed to it at the start, but again, we just trialed it to see what happened, and now everyone loves it.
Yeah.
That's good. You've got to trial these things.
That might be good in pennant too.
that's what people were saying, wasn't it? We did in pennant.
Yeah. And no umpires. I mean, the players sorted out themselves, and there's been no animosity, been nothing. Terrific. It's worked a treat.
Mm.
The women's ladder, Stan, top four, Mount Martha, Dramana.
The women's ladder.
City of Frankston, Mount Eliza.
So it's
great to see the FBD teams
performing
well.
Oh, fantastic. And again, there are only 8 women's teams in the competition, so all 8 women teams play in the final, and all these earlier rounds are just to sort out who's playing in the A grade and the B grade. But again, any team can get in.
So that's even better.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's
so fun. You've done a good job there, guys.
Oh, we're trying.
Yeah, I know
trying
you
to create
are.
Something.
Yeah, no, it's really good.
You know, we're getting people coming back to the Peninsula from Metro. For example, players like Phil Ashman. He's come back and he's playing down here. We need these guys to come back and help make the atmosphere a little bit better here. Help improve the standard. Rather than bagging it all the time, we need these guys to come back here and help the Peninsula.
I agree. And that's, we do. We need them.
We've got a demographic of age group people between the age of 90 through to teenagers. I think it's important as a group that we don't focus all our attention on one particular section of the bowling community, but we've got to cater for everyone. So the competitive people, we've got to have competitive competitions through to social bowls, as well to cater for the older people who are not interested in travelling for pennant and playing for sheep stations, so to speak.
So if we look after the elite bowlers, that makes us elitist, Jeff? So if we look after the social bowlers, that make us socialists?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, like you're thinking, Stan.
No, I don't think so. There was a couple of other things you were going to discuss here, guys. The rules relating to the start time.
Oh, look,
Jeff.
That's been a little bit contentious with one or two people. I think we've sorted it out generally, and most people accept that it is a 12:30 start. Look, have we had our time over again? Perhaps we wouldn't have gone down that path, But 90% of the clubs or the people in the club said, yes, let's give it a go. So we have done. After we made that decision, we then discovered from some clubs that there were people who were going to have trouble getting there on the start time. But there are rules in place to say that if you don't get there in time, and we've been a little bit flexible. We played down at Kooi Rup a couple of weeks ago. One of the fellas turned up a little bit late. He was actually playing against Stan's rink. It was no big deal. Just said, take your time, have a roll up, and we'll get going.
Yeah.
So flexibility is the key, and I think a bit of tolerance and just getting on with it.
At the start of the rule book, Jeff, they always say common sense.
Common sense
and sportsmanship.
And sportsmanship.
That's the big thing, the sportsmanship.
Yeah. Yes, and I've heard some pretty nasty things have happened around the traps because someone's been late, because they haven't understood the rules.
Yep.
And they've taken it up with the umpire board, and they've been put right. But you know, I think it was a club, and it might have been our club, went to a venue to play pennant, and someone wasn't there on time, and they said you forfeit, you know. And I'm not talking about the episode at Ballura. This was another episode. Yeah. So it's very important that they do understand those rules, because they've been put in place and they are important. And tolerance.
There's a lot of misinformation goes around, but I think the key to all of this is that some people get involved where they don't need to be involved, and I'm talking here about skippers and players in general. You've got two club managers and you've got an umpire, and they're the ones who are in control and in charge of sorting out what's right and what's not.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with any of the other players, and that's a bit of a concern sometimes when others get involved and don't need to.
If they're not sure, they should ring the PBD.
That's perhaps the last straw.
The last straw? You don't want to be phoned. Okay, the other thing I wanted to ask is, have you had a meeting with the PBD and the FBD? Have you been able to have a meeting together?
No, we haven't. Doug Fitch has been away for a couple of weeks. He's sort of leading it from the FBD.
Yeah, that's true.
Concern. When he's back, I think we'll have that meeting. I know that Graham Peck, I spoke to him on the phone during the week, he's very keen for this to happen, and he's going to be part of that committee. Bob Sack's name's been mentioned, although Bob doesn't play bowls anymore.
It's all right there, Michael, we'll get to you shortly. Sorry about that, Jeff, but I've just been buzzed by Michael.
But yes, that's still on the agenda, Pam, and we're hoping that'll take place before Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be good. Well, anyway, Doug Fitch is back now, so you should be able to start talking.
Yeah.
Good morning, Michael. You sound like you're a fish in a bowl of water.
I was just taking the gag off you put on me this morning, Pam.
Oh, yeah, I gagged you.
God, yes. So if you thought I was hot under the collar last week about the bowl shoes rubbish, what about last night?
What happened last night, Michael?
The first ever night pedder match played on the peninsula, and nobody could bother putting a buddy scores for it anywhere.
I went home to bed. It was too cold. Like you were there, Michael.
Well, I had family duties last night, Pam.
Yeah, so did I.
But, I mean, speaking, and we all day long we get updates about the thing. It's going to be a great night. We get the photos of all the politicians, photos of the great Jeff Hooper. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning, Michael.
Brilliant photo of you, by the way. It was a great photo. But, speaking, we couldn't get a score all night. I get a message at about 11:05 from Richard Keogh saying that Mount Eliza's going to win. Three rings still playing, but they're going to still win. I can't believe it.
Did you get the score? 61, City of Frankston to 99.
It was an annihilation, Pam.
Pardon?
Pam, it's my thing, but not yours. It was an annihilation, Pam. Absolute smash from Mount Eliza, and it was predicted before the game by all the great judges involved.
Well,
I don't think Justin Breed's actually a great judge of bowls, but he did predict it was going to be a smashing last night. Oh, come on, City of Frankston. If you're going to put on a big event, at least do the right thing by the people who can't get there, which is basically everybody, and put up the scores during the game, for goodness sake.
Oh, right.
On to more serious things. Congratulations to Mount Eliza anyway. Great victory. We want to be in the post-game wrap with the coach of City of Frankston. Would have been a happy man last night. On some more serious matters. Unfortunately, during the week, we had some big bushfires went through South Australia in a club called Wasley's, which is not far from Clare, if anybody knows where Clare is.
Yeah, no, where Clare is, yeah.
And their clubhouse was completely burnt to the ground, which was a very sad thing. Bowls Australia has introduced a what they call a disaster relief fund. They are encouraging every bowls club and every bowler to donate, whether it be a couple of dollars, or in the case of Stan Zawinski, it could probably be a couple of $1 million.
Oh, good on you, Stan.
Please, I lost it last night.
go to the Bowls Australia website and please donate some money to help this club rebuild their clubhouse. A very sad day for them. They're a great and good club. They've been on top of most of the ladders in their pennant this season. But very sad that they their clubhouse was burnt down. So Bowls Australia is imploring everybody to please donate something in some small kind would be great for them.
So Michael, have you put this on Facebook so we know about it? Why not? Why haven't you put it on Facebook yet, Mike? Come on.
Well, exactly. Have a go at me. I mean, I'm just following the lead of the City of Frankston. Goodness me. Right. Somerville Bowling Club, January the 10th, 2016, New Year's, 2x4x2 open competition pairs. Teams limited to first 32 entries, 3 games at 10 ends. Winners get $220. The prize money will hopefully rise soon because they're waiting for more entries to come in. Call Bobby Savage or Ron Arnold of the club. Not going to give you their phone numbers out because no one will remember them anyway. But great thing is they're going to be a great event, January the 10th. It's always good to have something on during early part of January when we're all out of pennant and you've got a chance to go and play a great game of bowls on 2 good, very good greens down there at my old club, Somerville. Asia-Pacific Championships are happening at the moment over in New Zealand.
Yeah, that's very interesting, isn't it? Australia's doing really well.
Whose segment is it, Pam? Yours or mine?
Well, I'm asking you a question.
I've had to wait till 8:45 to get on because you couldn't keep Tulinski or Hooper quiet. God, I'll tell you what, I pity anybody has to play against me today at Pettis.
I'm glad I'm not playing against you, Michael.
Oh, sorry, actually, before I go on the other side, but I had a meeting.
You only play 21 ends.
I'd be over that quickly. I had a luncheon meeting with Bowls Australia during the week. I found very important, don't I?
Yes.
And they were talking about the growth in social bowls at the moment. It is the graph is pointing straight north at the moment. Extraordinary thing how bowls clubs are now continuing to survive off the back of social bowling. We were talking about barefoot bowls. Apparently, had 2 greens full last night, Pammy, at City of?
Actually, we had 3.
Okay, 3 then.
We put the kids on the synthetic down the back.
Don't spoil a good story with the truth, for God's sake, Pam.
Right.
Speaking of clubs that do social bowls, well, goodness me, how good a Fitzroy Victoria up in the big town, Big Smoke, eh? What a great club they are. Mm. I had to give them a plug this morning, so there they are. They're the greatest club on the earth. They're the best at doing social bowls, and there you go. Okay, so Asia-Pacific Championships in New Zealand. The girls' fours, which include our own Victorian girl, Carla Rogers, who now plays at the Clayton Bowling Club there until the gold medal playoff today. The exceptional Cara Murphy is going to go for her second international gold medal title by winning, hopefully, the singles this afternoon as well. The men's teams have bombed a bit at the wrong moment and they're going to play off 4 bronze medals today. Next week it all continues again up there at Christchurch, I think it is, and it's always good because the better they do, the more funding we get from the federal government, so we want to win lots and lots of medals over there at this particular event. Some news from the Hastings Bowling Club, which I don't suspect the 2 men in the studio with you have broken this morning.
No, well, they're not talking about themselves, they're talking about the PBD and what the PBD are doing.
Well, I'm talking to you about Hastings Bowling Club. I believe there's a big out today at Hastings.
Ooh.
Now, I don't know if these 2 gentlemen won't probably confirm, but one of their skippers is apparently not available today. Is this correct, boys?
That is correct.
And I believe that my little retired greenkeeping mate's going to be stepping up to the big chair and skipping today. Is this correct?
You got it.
Phil, all the best to you, Phil. Just remember, mate, be nice to
people.
Now,
we're talking about Phil Rees, are we?
Yep.
Phil Rees.
Oh, good on you, Phil.
One of the 3 lucky Phils in the club.
Yeah.
3 lucky Phils.
Yeah. AJ's training this afternoon.
Oh, is he training? What for?
He's training. He's a train driver.
Very funny, Ted.
You're a bit slow, Mike.
Yeah,
mate,
Michael.
Very slow this morning, mate. Now, also, speaking of people from Hastings, Katie, the great Katie Lucas, who is, we will describe her as Phil's friends with benefits, is playing off tomorrow in the novice.
No, not tomorrow, the 6th.
When is it?
It's the 6th of December at Cranbourne Bowling Club.
Oh, who sent me the wrong information, Pam?
Not me.
Well, anyway, the week following, apparently, on the Sunday following at Cranbourne, Katie and her son Tyson will be going to hopefully get the doubles, mother and son. It'll be a great experience for them, and hopefully they can pull it off, which would be a first, obviously, in bowls. Speaking of records, during the week, the Mount Martha ladies, so Mount Martha Tuesday Division 3 side, won a game 119-18, which I was led to believe was a record until Lee Schrainer pipes up and tells me that Gringle apparently has a better record in a grand final of all events, which I can't get enough information on because Darren Mathers has been too lazy to get out of his club and check out the information for
him. I think that's a sad record, mate. I really do.
It's a sad record, but unfortunately, as I said to him the other day, a record is a record. It still has the right to be spoken about because it's an achievement by the team. And I know it's a sad thing that you don't want people to be losing by that many, but it's still, it's a record of our game. It's like when Leroy won the Champions final 25-0 in 10 ends, and Natalie won the ladies singles and the PBD by 25-0 in 9 ends. There's still events that we've got to record, hence why they're called records. Match of the season day today, I believe, boys. Gringle versus Hastings at Hastings. It's a replay of what I suspect will be the grand final, which is probably not making any sense to anybody, but this is the absolutely guaranteed PBD Division 1 grand final for March. And I suspect that Gringle, which are going in as the red-hot favourites, let's face it, they are the favourites for the flag. They're the greatest side ever in the history of the game, according to the people I speak to at Gringle. And I wish everybody all the best. If you're looking for a good game of bowls today, get down to the Hastings Bowling Club and see what will be a cracking match. It should be interesting. Also, there is a doubtful starter for Gringle, which is Popeye, Phil Ashman. He was out last week with an injury. Sat on the sidelines and gave grief to all the Summy boys. And but it'll be interesting if he plays today. Well, one of these things, I might save myself for another day.
We'll post scores on Facebook for you, Mike.
Please do. That'd be very good. I like to say things from Victoria. Did I mention how good a cross pitch for Victoria was?
We don't want to hear about it. Thank you, Mike.
One more thing, Ben. Question for Stan. If you see an engineer dressed in a suit, has he been to a funeral, a wedding, or has he been to court? What were you dressed? Where were you going last night, did you say, Stan? You look very smart in your suit, by the way.
Oh,
you reckon I'm slow this morning, Stan?
I thought you were coming up with a joke.
That was my joke.
No, that was his joke.
I thought it was on Facebook.
Good night, Michael.
Bye. Oh, that was Michael Stanley, our reporter down there on the ground, having a go at everyone. Anyway, nice to hear from you, Michael. Just a quick one. The arm bowlers, so this is just for arm bowlers, Germana Bowls Club have open pairs on Sunday the 6th of December, and they have $600 prize pool. So if you're interested in putting an entry in, contact Germana Bowling Club. They'd be happy to hear from you. And any more there, Jeff or Stan? You got something else to say before we sign off?
I think we've pretty well covered it.
Well, that's thanks for having pretty us good. In, Pam. Yeah, and thanks for being here. Oh, and the other, just before we go, the results up on the PBD website.
Yes, there's been a bit of a problem with the midweek ones. I've spoken to Pauline. Apparently, Peter Stevens are sending them out via email, but they haven't been getting on the website. So I have...
No, I'm talking about the state events.
It's time they were updated as well.
Thank you.
Couldn't agree more.
Anyway, Pauline did send me through the results, but she said she was under stress, so we understand. We really understand. So thanks for being in the studio, Stan.
My pleasure,
it's
my
good
pleasure.
To see you, and you too, Jeff. You've been a busy man racing out last night.
Week.
It's been a busy week for everyone.
Pressing the flesh.
True. And to you, Neil, thank you for being there with us.
My pleasure, Pam, as always.
Thank you. Okay. We look forward to next week.
Yeah, you've been listening to Bowling Around the Peninsula. So from all of us here at RPP, we want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in once again. We hope you all have another great week in bowls. Take care. Next on RPP, it's The Cricket Show with Neil Williams. And happy birthday to Sid for Tuesday. Get well soon, mate.